Concentration and meditation are polar opposites. Concentration narrows down your mind. It is focusing on one point. It includes only something and excludes everything else. Meditation is all-inclusive. It excludes nothing. It is not narrowing down of the mind. It is expansion of consciousness. Concentration is of the mind. Meditation is of consciousness. Concentration is mind. Meditation is no mind. Concentration is a tension. You will be tired of it sooner or later. You cannot concentrate for a long time. It is effort. But one can be meditative 24 hours because it is relaxation.
Hello, this is Osho Radio. Welcome everybody to our new program. Today we continue our discourses of the Book of Wisdom, Volume 2, Number 9. The complete discourse can always be downloaded for free in a very good quality on oshoworld.com/discourse/audio. All the discourses we are playing on Osho Radio are parts of a full discourse, so if you think this is fantastic already as it is, and you're glued to the voice of Osho taking you deeper with every breath you can take, go to oshoworld.com and give yourself the gift of listening to the whole discourse for 1.5 hours non-stop.
Shannu Mitra Shambaruna Shannu Bhave Pariyamam Shannu Indro Brahaspati Shannu Vishnu Urukrama Namo Brahmani Namaste Vayu Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadisyami Ritham Vadisyami Satyam Vadisyami Tanma Mavatu Tatvaktara Mavatu Avatu Mam Avatu Bhaktaram. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shannu Mitra, Shambaruna, Shannu Bhavet Variyamam, Shanna Indro Brahaspati, Shannu Vishnu Rukrama, Namo Brahmani, Namaste Vayu, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi, Twameva Pratyaksham Brahma Vadisyami, Ritam Vadisyami, Satyam Vadisyami, Tanma Mavatu, Tatvaktara Mavatu, Avatu Mam, Avatu Vaktaram. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
In the discourse of today, Osho continues to speak about the workings of your innermost core. Today he talks about which way to go when you are traveling inside. He says, begin with the negative. There is no other way possible, because you are living basically in the negative. And from this, the positive will arise by itself.
Atisha says, always meditate on specific subjects. What does he mean by specific subjects? Sadness, anger, greed, lust, the negatives, love, beauty, joy, freedom, the positives. Begin with the negative. Because you are living in the negative. When said, meditate on it. Don't be in a hurry to get rid of it. Don't be in a hurry to get occupied somewhere else so that you can forget it. That will be missing an opportunity, because sadness has its own depth. Sadness has its own beauty. Sadness has its own taste. Live it. Relax into it. Be it. And without any effort to escape, without any effort to get occupied somewhere else, let it be there. Enjoy. It is a flower of your being. Sadness too is a flowering of your being. And you will be surprised. If you can meditate on sadness, sadness will reveal its secrets to you, and they are of tremendous value. And sadness, once it has revealed its secrets to you, will disappear. Its work is done. Its message delivers. And when sadness disappears, joy arises. Joy arises only when sadness disappears out of meditation. There is no other way. Joy wells up when you have broken the ice of sadness that surrounds it. In fact, sadness is like the cell that surrounds the seed. It is protective. It is not the enemy. Once the seed has dropped its protection, is surrendered into the soil, the cell has died. The sprout is born. Exactly like that it happens inside. Meditate on anything negative. And slowly, slowly you will be simply taken by a surprise. That sadness turns into joy. That anger turns into compassion. That greed turns into sharing. And so on and so forth. This is the science of inner alchemy. How to change the negative into the positive. How to change the base metal into gold. But remember, never start by the positive because you don't know anything of the positive. And that's what is being taught by many people in the world. The positive thinkers, they are called. They don't know anything about the inner alchemy. You don't begin by gold. If you already have the gold, then what is the point of beginning at all? You don't need alchemy. You have to begin by a base metal. The base metal has to be changed into gold. And the base metal is what you have, is what you are. Hell is what you are. It has to be transformed into heaven. Poison is available. It has to be transformed into nectar. Start by the negative. All the Buddhas have insisted, go via negativa. Because the negative brings the positive, and the negative brings the positive so easily. You don't drag it. You don't impose it upon yourself. If you start by the positive, as the so-called positive thinkers are teaching, you will become phony. What you will do? How you will start by joy? You may start smiling, but that smile will be painted. It will be just on the lips. Not even skin deep. Start by the negative. And you don't need to think about the positive at all. If you meditate the negative, if you go deep into it, to the deepest root of it, suddenly an explosion happens. The negative disappears. And the positive has arrived. In fact, it has always been there, hidden behind the negative. The negative was a shelter. The negative was needed because you were not yet worthy enough. The negative was needed so that you can become worthy enough to receive the positive. The world is the negative pole of God. You need not renounce it. You have simply to be meditative in it. And one day you will see the world has disappeared and there is God and only God. Always meditate on specific objects. Start with the negative and you will find the positive. Dig a well. First you find only earth, rocks, garbage. Slowly, slowly you come to the water. First it is very dirty. Then it becomes purer and purer and purer. Exactly the same way, one has to dig a well within one's own being. The beginning has to be negative and the end is of itself positive. Your work has to be with the negative. The positive is the reward. The third sutra, you should have no concern for other factors. Atisha says, while you are meditating on any specific subject, for example, sadness, then be it and forget everything else as if nothing else exists. Just be totally sad. Savor it. Taste it. Let it sink in you. Soak it. You be just a sponge. That's what meditation is all about. Just be a sponge. And this mood is there, soak it to the total capacity, to the optimum. Meditating sadness, be it. Meditating simply means drop the distinction between the observer and the observed. Let the observer become the observed. Drop that old dichotomy of object and subject. Disappear into the object of your meditation. Don't stand aloof. Don't be a spectator. Secrets are not revealed to the spectators. Secrets are revealed only to those who take a jump, who dive deep into something. People who don't hold themselves back. And if you are totally sad, you are just on the verge of a discovery. Sadness will evaporate. At a certain intensity, at a certain point, simply it evaporates as dewdrops evaporate in the morning sun. Once the heat has reached to a certain intensity, the dewdrops disappear. Exactly like that, the sadness will disappear. And suddenly, out of nowhere, joy has arrived. The guest has arrived. Now be a host to it. Now meditate on it. Again be one with it. Now be joy. Don't stand aloof again. Don't start thinking that such a beautiful experience is happening, that I am having the experience of joy. Don't start creating a distance between you and the joy. Be the joy. Dance it. Sing it. Manifest it. Be it. Therefore, apply yourself to important matters. Life is short. Energy limited. Very limited. And with this limited energy, we have to find the unlimited. With this short life, we have to find the eternal. A great task. A great challenge. So please don't be concerned with unimportant matters. What is important and what is unimportant? In Atisha's definition, are in the definition of all the Buddhas. That which can be taken by death is unimportant, and that which cannot be taken by death is important. Remember this definition. Let this be a touchstone. You can judge anything immediately on this touchstone. Have you seen the touchstone on which the gold is judged? Let this be a touchstone for you. What is important? Is death going to take it away from you? Then it is not important. Money then is not important. Useful, but not important. Has no import. Power, prestige, respectability. Death will come and efface them all. So why make so much fuss about them for the few days you are here? This is a caravansara, an overnight stay, and by the morning we go. Remember only that which you can take with you when you will be leaving the body is important. That means except meditation, nothing is important. Except awareness, nothing is important. Because only awareness cannot be taken away by death. Everything else will be snatched away. Because everything else comes from without. Only awareness wells up within. That cannot be taken away. And the shadows of awareness, compassion, love, they cannot be taken away. They are intrinsic parts of awareness. You will be taking with you only whatsoever awareness you have attained. That is your only real wealth. All else is illth, not wealth. Don't do things backwards. This is a very significant sutra. I said to you in the beginning, people are upside down, in a permanent headstand posture. People are living backwards. Life moves forwards. People live backwards in many, many ways. The first meaning is the heart has to be the master and the head the servant. But people are upside down. The head has become the master. And the heart has become the servant. Logic rules. Love is not even heeded. Personality has become more important than individuality. Personality is that which is conferred on you by others. Individuality is that which is given to you by God. Personality is just a mask, persona. Individuality is your uniqueness. Qualities. The society wants you to have personalities which are comfortable for the society, convenient for the society. But the person is not the real thing. The individual is the real thing. The individual is not necessarily always comfortable to the society. In fact, he is very inconvenient. Jesus must have been very inconvenient. Otherwise, people don't kill, don't murder, don't crucify people. If Jesus was really a personality, there would have been no trouble. He would have been a well-respected rabbi. Masses would have worshipped him. Jews would have remembered him as a great saint. But he was an individual. Individuals don't fit easily with others. Individuals fit only with other individuals. And then too, the harmony is not imposed and forced. The harmony is natural. But individuals don't fit with personalities. Light cannot be adjusted with darkness. That is the trouble. Jesus must have been too much of a troublemaker, because he only worked for 3 years. And in only 3 years he created so much offense that people had to kill him. And Jews are not dangerous people. Jews are business-minded people. In fact, for these 2,000 years, Jews have been crying and weeping deep down because they killed Jesus and missed the opportunity of the greatest business possible. Christianity is the greatest firm on the earth. Jews must have been very jealous. This time when it was going to happen, they didn't miss. Sigmund Freud was a Jew. He started another business, psychoanalysis. This time they did not miss. All important psychoanalysts are Jews. Now psychoanalysis is big business. Jesus must have offended terribly. They could not tolerate him even for a single day. So was Socrates. So was Buddha and Mahavira. All individuals have suffered because of the phony society. The truth becomes intolerable. But they may have suffered from the outside, from the inside they lived a blissful life. They lived an orgasmic life. Each moment of their life was an orgasm, a deep love affair with existence. unless you start living right side up, you will go on missing being an individual. You will never become authentic. Head is good, but only as a servant, not as a master. The heart has to be the master. Feelings should dominate thoughts. And once this has happened, then another step can be taken. Being should dominate feelings. These are the three layers. Thoughts, the outermost, and being, the innermost, and feeling in between, the bridge. Move from thoughts to feelings, and from feelings to being, and start living from being. That does not mean that you will not have any feelings. You will have feelings, but those feelings will follow being. They will have the flavor of being, the heartbeat of the being. It does not mean that you will not be able to think. You will be able to think far more intelligently. But now, your thinking will have the juiciness of your feelings and the light of your being. Your thoughts will be luminous. Right now, it is just the other way. Thoughts are dominating feelings. And because of this domination, everything has gone topsy-turvy. And because of this domination, you cannot reach to the being, because thought is important to reach to the being. The inner is capable to reach to the outer, not vice versa. The center can touch the circumference, but not vice versa. Future has become more important to you than the present. Present should be the central, and everything should go round it. That has become important over this. Then has become important over now. Change these values. Unless you change these values, you are not sannyasins. Let now be more important. Let here be more important. Now this be more important. Upanishads say, thou art that. I say to you, thou art this. Because that means far away. As if God is far away. Thou art that. No. Thou art this, this very moment. This air that surrounds you. These chirping birds. This railway train passing by. These trees. This sun. These people. I and you. This silence, where neither I am, neither you are. Thou art this. Let this become more important than that, and your life will have a totally different quality to it. Thank you.
Meditation today is called I Am the Witness. Sit on your bed for 10 minutes before going to sleep and look into the flame of a candle. Tell yourself that I am going to be aware even in my deep sleep. I am going to watch my sleeping body. The flame of my consciousness continues to burn 24 hours a day, even in my sleep and in my dreams. The witness is present. The moment you can be the witness, even in your dreams, the dream will be broken. It may take a long time to remember the witness in sleeping and dreaming. It needs constant practice and patience. But once you have found it, you have a major key to remain the witness in life and in death. Coming to the end of Osho Radio of today. I hope you all had a good time listening to us. We had music today from the world of Osho, from Deva Premal Emiten, from Maduro, and from Swagato. Make sure you're all tuned in to Osho Radio again next week. I wish you all a lot of light, love, and laughter this coming week.